Hi everyone, and welcome to The Human Behind the Screen. And I'm your host, Shauna Morin. The ways in which we work and scale workforces are changing. No longer are we reliant on physical locations in order to operate as a business or a team. And this shift in building teams and companies is coming rapidly, and businesses are being forced to adapt to what they've always done for years. But what does this mean for the humans behind the screen? How do we bring back that human connection when we primarily work online? In this podcast, we'll be speaking to leaders and experts all over the world to dissect what makes businesses successful at remote working. We'll be discussing the importance of human connection, emotional intelligence, and relationships in an ever-changing virtual world. Welcome everybody to today's show of The Human Behind the Screen. And if you're listening to this, I just want to, first of all, thank you. Thank you for tuning in week on week and listening to this podcast and supporting this podcast. It means the world to us here at Team Operate Remote. It means the world to me. When I had this idea to set up this show, things looked a lot different in the world. Remote working wasn't as well known as it is right now with all the changes that we're going through. And for me, over the years, I've really realized the power of human connection, the power of emotional intelligence, and the impact of great leadership, especially in remote teams. And this is what I wanted to get across in this podcast. And I know that we have. I know that we have from the feedback that we get from the listeners every week. I know that we get this feedback and these insights from the LinkedIn messages and the emails that we receive from people thanking us. So I know we're doing our job and we're spreading the message of the importance of human connection, how we can do that in remote teams. And for that, I am so grateful. And that's only possible because of you guys. To let you know, we will be changing up the podcast a little bit. So we're not going to be interviewing guests every single week. In fact, this episode is the first where it's just going to be me. So in the future, what we're actually going to be asking guests is to come on with their insights and share their knowledge, but we're actually going to be doing some live coaching on the podcast. So stay tuned over the next couple of weeks for that, where I'll be coaching people live on the show. So that will feel a little edgy. But, you know, if it's not feeling edgy, we're not growing. So today's episode, I want to talk about time. I want to talk about time management. I want to talk about how we value our time, because this is a topic that I see coming up time and time again with my clients and also in my network, with my friends, with myself, with my own business, with people working remotely. So it's an interesting topic that I want to help you guys out with and share some insights to help you better manage your time. And I think the first thing is we need to put a value on our time. That's the first thing. As business owners, as leaders, are we putting a value on our time? Because time really is the most valuable commodity that we have. And there is such a shortage of time. And I think now that we may have more time indoors because of what's happening, now is a good opportunity to revisit how you're spending your time. I've been speaking to a lot of people recently who have had a lot of time to think and to reflect. And they maybe realized that they were going at 150 miles an hour. And that's not what they want. So that chance to slow down in order to speed up, I cannot stress how important that is. Recently, I've given myself a lot of slowdown time in my own business to speed up. And from doing that, even though it felt so uncomfortable to slow down, the new knowledge and the new learnings that I have on where this business is going and where I'm going within that has been incredible. now I'm back and I'm totally sped up, but I'm speeding up in the right direction. And that's the thing. So let's talk about business owners managing their time and leaders managing their time in this episode. If you're struggling to find time to eat lunch, never mind focus on growing your business or supporting your team members, I can promise you two things. And the first thing is you are absolutely not alone. And the second thing is you're in the right place listening to this. I know that feeling oh so well when you're being dragged from pillar to post. And after a long week or a long day, you've absolutely no energy and mental space to give yourself time, let alone your family or your friends. And you might find yourself asking questions like, why did I set this business up in the first place? Why did I take on so much responsibility in the first place? You know, having that dream of having a work-life balance seems like a distant dream. And you're wondering, is it even possible to scale this business? Is it even possible to keep going in this way? Is this even sustainable? So if you're saying those things to yourself, know that absolutely you're not alone. I hear this all of the time with the clients that I work with. But let me tell you, it does not have to be like this. So one of the exercises that I like to do with my clients when time management is a challenge or is a blocker is to start off by thinking about your definition of success. And that's a very powerful exercise to do. What is my definition of success? What does success look like in my life? Not anybody else's life, my life. When I ask business owners this question, what I also tap into is the personal element of it. I think long gone are the days where we have, you know, professional success on one side and personal success on the other, and they don't blend at all. It's all blended, especially now. It's all blended. So tapping into that definition of success, what does that look like for you? Some business owners might say, well, you know what? I set up this business to have more freedom. Okay, what does freedom look like? Well, freedom to me meant that I was going to be able to travel more and see more places and spend more time with my family. Roll on a couple of years, they're in business. While they're successful in business, they're not meeting their definition of success. They don't have that work-life balance. So for you to go back to what that definition of success looks like, and let me tell you, nobody else can tell you what that is. We might be influenced by people around us. We might have been told what that definition of success looks like. But as an adult listening to this now, you decide what your definition of success looks like for you. And that is so important, because only by getting clear on what you define as success can you ensure you're spending time on the right things for you. Sometimes when you answer this question, it can be a little bit daunting. Maybe some of you are nowhere near that definition of success. Maybe you are working 70, 80 hours a week, and really all you want to do is work a 3-day week. And that is scary to know that you have a way to go. It can be daunting, but look at this as an opportunity. You can do it. You can absolutely do it. But it's really about being able to define that. Because if you can't define that, then really the rest of the podcast isn't going to make sense, because you aren't clear on where you're going. So the second step around this is to look at your non-negotiables. What are my non-negotiables? Our non-negotiables are those tasks or activities that we need to do on a frequent and consistent basis. They can be tasks or actions that maybe drive us forward to whatever that definition of success is. And when I like to look at non-negotiables, I like to divide them up into personal and professional. So really, when you're thinking of what to put on your non-negotiable list, I tend to think of it in three ways. So A, it needs to have meaning for you and for you to understand the ROI from doing that activity or task. So it needs to have meaning for you, and you need to know what you're getting out of it. The second part is it has to move you closer to your definition of success. And the third part is it drives personal or professional business growth. So some of you may be off on a, have your business hat on and be listing all of the things that you have to do within your business. Team meetings, project updates, daily stand-ups, partnerships, meeting with investors. You know, you could be totally gone down that route, which is fine. If you're gone down that route and you have a professional list of non-negotiables, good for you. But remember, going back to that definition of success, what are the personal non-negotiables in there? Things might not seem that obvious. I mean, when I do this exercise a lot of the time, people leave out things like going to the gym. I know we can't go to the gym right now, but you get my example here. Exercising, let's say. So they leave that out of their non-negotiable list. But when I ask them, what's the return of investment for you in exercising? They say things like, it makes me feel so much better. I feel more energetic. I feel more creative. I'm able to think with more clarity. Fantastic. That's an amazing return of investment. And what's the return of investment on exercising in your business? They'll say things like, well, when I can think more clearly, I can come up with better ideas that generate more revenue for my business. When I am feeling more creative and energetic, I can have better sales calls and close more business. So you'll see that having exercise, you may not put it in there, but you can see the ROI from doing it. So at least when you have your list of non-negotiables, when you're reviewing your time, you can say to yourself, why am I not prioritizing my exercise? So that's the thing. It's about getting clear on that. Look at your definition of success. Look at the things that you are doing on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that are feeding into that definition of success, or that will feed into that definition of success. Maybe there's other things that you aren't doing yet, and we'll get to that in a minute, but look at what you are doing. What are those non-negotiables? So that means a non-negotiable, in my opinion, is that even when you feel crap and you don't want to do something, that that list is set in stone, that you can go back and nearly self-coach yourself around getting back into that activity. So that's kind of on the personal side. On the professional side, really, it's understanding, what's the impact of doing all those professional activities or tasks and non-negotiables? Because I can guarantee you, if you're a business owner, you've put some tasks in here that either A, you don't need to do, B, that does not produce a high return of investment for your business, or C, you can delegate to somebody else. So on the professional side of your non-negotiables, ask yourself those questions. Do I need to do this? I've been maybe doing this activity for the last 2 years. I just think I have to do it. So I'll give you an example. I worked with a client recently who was completely burnt out as a business owner. I mean, this client had zero time left, energy left for anything outside of work. And not only could he not think straight, but also he became a blocker in business growth, because it was, everything was just evolving around him. But when we did this exercise together, one of the first things he put in the professional non-negotiable box were client calls. So we reality tested that. With the senior management team in place, does he really need to be on the calls with certain clients every week? And the answer is no, he doesn't need to be there. He might want to be there. The clients might want him to be there, but he doesn't need to be there. So long story short, we put in place an action plan around how he can hand that over in a way that still felt very comfortable and professional for the client, that they were looked after, and also set up some other means of communication, different touch points for him that don't eat up a huge chunk of his time every week. He has a team there to hand it off. So what I'm saying is, with those professional non-negotiables, go back in there and reality test which leads us on to the third point, which is to start to cull your current activities. So pull out your calendar and take a look at all of the activities over the next week even, or the next month. And no doubt, if you're still listening to this, that it is jam-packed full of meetings and team meetings and client meetings and partner meetings. So now it's time to start removing some of that activity that is no longer serving your goals. You're going up a few notches now, you know? And while those things might need to be done, do they need to be done by you? So look at the meetings. I think meetings are one of the biggest blockers for us in taking back control over our time. The other thing is technology. And we're constantly reactive to other people's demands and asks and updates. So I'll give you two very different examples of business owners. On one hand, there's the business owner who gets up in the morning and the first thing that they do is check their emails. The second thing they do is check their Slack notifications. And then the third thing that they do is they start to reply and answer. And then in between all of that, they'll get ready, dressed, maybe eat at their desk and go for it. Yeah, they might take a break later. But that business owner is waking up in reactive mode. Very, very easy to slip into. And throughout the day, while Slack goes off, while WhatsApp messages get sent, while emails get sent in, they are reactive to that. On the other hand, you have the business owner who puts their phone maybe on do not disturb mode. And they have informed their team that they don't really log on to messages until 10 a.m. So they get up and they do their morning practice, whatever it is, meditation, listen to a podcast, read a book, whatever is in their personal non-negotiables that has a good return of investment for them on a personal and professional level. They do that. And then because they're super organized and know where they're going, they have their priority list in front of them. So they'll take an hour to really strategically think about a project, how it's moving forward. Or maybe they will take an hour to go through the data and the revenue reports so that they'll have information on how to prioritize projects in their team meeting later on. And throughout the day, they have boundaries in place that help them create space and time to focus on the bigger picture work. So that's two very different worlds. And if you are saying to yourself, I go between these two worlds often, that's okay too. A lot of us do. But it's about being able to pull yourself back when you're in that reactive mode and to re-listen to this podcast as many times as you need. Because believe me, as a business owner myself, these are things that I'm constantly looking at, especially at a time during lockdown when there's nothing else to do. So start looking at some of those activities you can cull. Are there meetings in there that you can delegate out to the rest of your team? If you need to delegate, what updates do you need from them afterwards? What needs to happen in order to delegate effectively? Maybe it's not that you say, here, you take this, this, and this. Maybe it's that it's a process of transition. Maybe there's some meetings that you help them with for the first couple of weeks and then they can take it on their own. It might look a little bit different. Are there even activities in there that can be better done by another team or department instead of you? I mean, if you don't have a huge team, if you're still quite a small team, or maybe it is even just you, does it make sense to get help with some of those activities that take you a long time? We're not going to be good at everything. It's just not possible. There are experts in their fields that are so much better than us. So if you are trying to do something, if it's a huge amount of effort, if you're not enjoying it, if you're not passionate about it, if it feels like a drain or a drag, is it time to start either culling that activity or delegating it to somebody else? Are there meetings in there that no longer serve a purpose? Because a meeting without a purpose is one of my biggest pet peeves. So look at what the agenda and the objective of every meeting is. Is that clear? Start valuing your time. Start valuing other people's time. Are people prepared ahead of the meeting that they know what to bring? that they know what the objective to walk away with is. But I know from experience that sometimes we just have those reoccurring meetings and we don't ever stop and ask why. So there could be some in there that don't serve a purpose. More than likely there is, if this is the first time you've done this exercise. And the final thing, the joy about working remotely, is that we can work in an asynchronous way. Asynchronous means delayed communication, like an email or a Slack message. And synchronous is in real time. So for example, you're going to be listening to this in delayed time because we're not live together. But if we jump on a Zoom call, that's going to be in a synchronous way. So meetings are synchronous communication. Are there some meetings in there that can be moved to asynchronous communication? Can updates be sent in Slack instead of having a meeting? Just a thought, because that is one of the biggest gifts of remote working. I said gifts. So utilize that opportunity, capitalize on that opportunity that comes up. The fourth point then is to really look at how you are setting your team and your environment up to support this transition. So it's important to understand that in order to free up your time, you really must delegate tasks and responsibilities effectively to the rest of your team. Because there's nothing worse than delegating something and having 101 questions after. And if that's happened to you, that means you're not delegating effectively. So you need to get better at it. That's coming from you as a leader. So one of the best tips that I have for you around delegation, I do have a 5-step formula, but I'm not going to go through all of it on the podcast. I'm going to show you how you can get details on that. But the first thing is to think about, before handing off any assignment, is to think what you're really asking for. So ask yourself, what does finished look like in this task, project, idea, meeting? So it's really important that before you assign or communicate the task, you have defined your own expectations. A lot of things live within our own heads. A lot of expectations live within our own heads as business owners. So it's important that before you assign, you have defined that and communicated that to the rest of your team. Now, the fifth and final step, I hope you're still with me, is to set better boundaries for yourself. Because remember this, and this is a great question you can ask yourself. When I say yes to this task, activity, meeting, what am I saying no to? So let's go back to those two leaders, those two examples of getting up in the morning. When that reactive leader opens emails first thing in the morning, so when he says yes to emails at 7 a.m., he is saying no to giving himself time to think, to be, to relax, to set himself up for the day. That's what he's saying no to when he says yes to emails. So that's a great question to ask before you get into any task, before you respond to the ask, before you just say yes, what am I saying no to? It's a good one. So when you're looking at your time management activities, it's so important that you are spending your time not only in the business, but on the business, on your business. And look, I mean, we live in such a fast-paced world. I think we have taken that down a couple of notches because of everything that's happened. And for that, I think it's a great opportunity for everyone if they're taking that time. But a lot of people don't know how to. But whatever happens and whatever is happening in your business, there will come a time when we will have the opportunity to go back to just how incredibly busy we were. And then presents the risk of us again becoming reactive as opposed to proactive. So valuing your time more, focusing on the business activities and personal activities, your non-negotiables that are going to grow your business. And fine-tuning yourself and your leadership skills around how to effectively delegate and communicate. So, and asking yourself that question. So let's recap on today's session. The first step, define your definition of success. What is important to you? What does success look like in your life? What does a successful day look like? What does a successful week, a month? What is that for you? Did you set up your business for completely different reasons of where you are right now? Or maybe you're on track. That's good too, right? That's fantastic if you're on track. But be honest with yourself about what success looks like. It's going to be different for everybody. Second step, look at your non-negotiables. What are they on a personal and professional level? What's the ROI from doing these things? How does this move me closer to my definition of success? And how is this driving personal or professional growth? Step three, start to cull your current activities. Cull them, delegate them. Ask yourself, do I even need to be doing this? What's the return of investment here? Step four, set your team up for the environment to support this transition. Delegation, delegate effectively. Get better at delegating all of the time. What does good look like? What does great look like before you hand off a task? And step five is to set better boundaries. So I hope that you found that episode useful. If you did, if you would like to know more about time management, if you would like to have more of an open coaching session around this, I have two ways that I can help you. So we first of all have a free ebook that you can download all around how to start valuing your time as a business owner and leader. And you can head on over to www.operateremote.com/time-management. There you can click a link, you can download the ebook and you can print it off and you can go back to it as much as you like. It also includes more information around how you can start better delegating for your team. The second way that I can help you is that we are offering this as a free webinar at the end of the month. So again, on that page, you will find details to the webinar where you can sign up. I would say it's more of a group conversation coaching session because we're going to be taking some real life examples of business owners live on the session. And we're going to be coaching together around that. It's something I think that we're always going to have to go back to. And it's a skill that we constantly have to develop. I saved my client that I spoke about earlier, the burnt out business owner. I saved him 64 hours per month by doing these strategies, working on these strategies and getting better at them and deep diving more into them on how it relates to his life. So these exact strategies work if you are willing to commit to them and if you are willing to start valuing your time. Not only will you show up better for yourself, for your team, for your business, but you'll also start showing up differently for others around you when you value your time more. And I think that's a very powerful gift to give to somebody, is valuing their time. So what you'll find is it'll feed into how you better communicate because you want to value people's time. You'll be more organized. You'll be more upfront. You'll be more transparent. So it will feed into all of the skills that fundamentally make us great at remote working and business owners. I'll leave it there, guys. Don't forget, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, don't forget to subscribe. If you'd like to give us some ratings on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, we would absolutely love to see that, to see your comments. And thank you for listening today. Stay safe, stay well, and look after yourselves. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Human Behind the Screen. I hope that you found it beneficial and had lots of key takeaways from today's conversation. Head on over to iTunes and don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast. If you do have any ideas or would like to advertise on this podcast, you can email us directly at podcast@operateremote.com. If you want to learn even more from this podcast and check out the key themes that came up, you can check out our blog at www.operateremote.com/blog. Thanks for listening and talk soon.